everybody, it's Katie, and this is Why Should Your Team Win? I'm still around, you guys. I know it's been a minute, but stuff happens, life happens, and I just didn't feel like doing the podcast for 2 months. But playoffs are around the corner, and I have my top guest of all time, my Vegas Golden Knights fan. Please welcome back to the show, Amy.
Hey, thanks for having me back. What a nice intro.
Thank you. Well, reigning Stanley Cup champions, how were the celebrations? Because I haven't talked to you since you guys were back. I would bask in the glow of the victory from you guys. I haven't talked to you,
Oh.
so that was like 6, 7 months ago, 8 months.
Yeah.
How were the celebrations?
They were fantastic. They were meme worthy. I don't know if you saw William Karlsson at the parade. He got absolutely hammered and was having the time of his life. It was great. It was super fun to see the guys take the cup home. Some of my favorites were Zach Whitecloud. He took it back to the res in Manitoba. I loved seeing him there with his grandma, and
Oh.
it was really fun. I don't know. It went by so fast. I'm sure you can relate to that, having.
Yeah, well, I mean, you kind of answered my next question. Were there any places that the cup went that warmed your heart? You kind of mentioned White Cloud. Were there any other players? Did you follow their cup journey? Where did Mark Stone take it? Like that sort of thing. Do you know?
You know what? I don't really remember where Stoney took it. I really don't remember. I have to be completely honest. All those celebrations and everything were coming out so fast, and there were so many that they all kind of blurred together.
Yeah. Well, and also, I think you kind of answered this right away. I said, who got the drunkest? You mentioned William Karlsson.
Oh man.
But that just unlocked a memory for me because I hadn't thought about it since then. But weren't they trying to like cut his mic? Like he was at the
Oh
parade being like, fucking you guys,
yeah.
man,
Yeah.
fucking. They were mad he was swearing. I forgot the
Yeah,
scandal.
so he made a speech and he capped it off with since day fucking one. Like we've been building the team, we've been working on this cup, we've been building this brotherhood. I love these guys. This has been it been our destiny since day fucking one. And there's this hilarious video of this woman who must work for their PR team or something, literally like taking the microphone away from him, and he's like following it as she's pulling it away. And
Yeah,
then, like,
that's it.
yeah, oh my God, it's so funny. But then the organization decided to start marketing off of quote unquote day fucking one.
Love
And
it.
so now there's t-shirts and pins and all this kind of stuff, and now he's a legend.
Yeah, well, I think American sensibilities were like, oh, fuck. But I mean, Carlson's Swedish. Gabe Landeskog is Swedish, and at his, he was like, fuck yeah. Fuck. And it's like that's like the worst. I mean, then they're not saying, anything offensive. Like the Holocaust wasn't real. Like anything, like shit like
Like
that.
truly, yeah, truly offensive. No, yeah,
Some
it's
curse words, it's okay.
yeah, I think our American sensibilities are loosening up a little bit.
So it takes a special group of guys to win the cup, and inevitably the team starts getting carved apart for the next go. What's it like seeing Riley Smith in a Pittsburgh jersey?
I thought you might ask about that. It is a little painful. We definitely miss him, and I, for one, was kind of blindsided by that trade. I'm trying not to be, and it's making me a lot more paranoid about what's going to happen this next off season. But I mean, I'm happy for him. When we played him, what, last week? I don't know. It's just weird seeing him. Not in our jersey, and but he seems to be playing well, and I mean, we miss him.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks that Pittsburgh's not going to make the playoffs. I'm going to make a bold prediction. I mean, anything could happen, but I think they're cooked. But also during the playoffs, there's people play with crazy injuries, and they're usually disclosed after the playoffs. Were there any players that were just like, Jesus Christ, you're playing on a broken foot, like anything like that?
Oh, Mark Stone. When it came out, like, it was game seven. I think he had a broken hand. And he still scored a, what did he score, a hat trick that last game?
Oh yeah, that game was sick. 9-3, something like
Yeah,
that.
it just, I am in awe sometimes of what these guys will play through. On the other hand, we as a team kind of get knocks for quote unquote, over dramatizing our injuries, or people think that we abuse the LTIR system for cap space. So I'm not to say that I'm like a conspiracy theorist. I always hope that they're doing as well as they can. I know that they play through injuries. I know that. But on the other hand, I also think that Kelly McCrimmon is shrewd enough to potentially put a player on LTIR out of an abundance of caution that may also financially make the best sense. And that's not to say that it's against the rules, because it's within the rules that, they've got physicians and everything on their side. But we do that, we do seem to have more finesse when it comes to that loophole than other teams. And I do completely understand why fans of other teams hate us for it.
Yeah, I mean, that was my question down the line, but we'll just jump into that. The last 2 weeks, was Mark Stone this, Mark Stone that. The cap space is over th 30 million. And like, so you gotta explain like I'm five, because I still don't really understand these like side rules. Like, people are like, is this cheating? A player goes on the LTIR. I mean, Tampa did it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, if you're gonna find a way to win, it's not cheating until they say it's cheating.
Exactly. It if there needs to be a change to the rules, there needs to be a change to the rules. But I think that any organization is going to toe the line as far as they can to their benefit. I mean, really, the only two players that we have on LTIR right now are Mark Stone and Robin Leonard, who,
He's, I thought he got swallowed by a snake.
God,
I
no.
made that
Well,
up, you guys.
yeah, I
I
know.
got you.
He's still getting 5 million a year, which is just ridiculous.
Okay.
And
Yeah, go ahead.
with
Sorry.
Mark Stone, he's out with a splenic or spleen injury, and
Spleen?
spleen. Yep. And
Oh.
they haven't, of course, like, I'm all about medical privacy. He doesn't have to have all the details, but that could either be a very serious injury or it could be a very mild injury. And so there's this huge spectrum, and it's really none of our business. But that did free up $9.5 million right up against the trade deadline. And Coach Cassidy has been very optimistic, so to speak, that if we make the playoffs, Mark Stone could be back for that. So I understand why people are frustrated. There are checks and balances that make sure that these injuries are legit. We're not just saying so and so is out with an upper body injury and really they're just chilling by a pool having a margarita.
Yeah.
But it is suspicious, and I understand the criticism. But on the other hand, I feel like if you can skirt a rule, management may have the obligation to skirt the rule as much as they can to their benefit if it helps them get to the cup. That's what this is all about. So
Yeah.
I think that winning the cup has kind of pulled the blinders off of me a little bit. I was a lot more naive or just optimistic, Pollyanna-ish about, oh, we're just, we have the heart and the drive, and that's why we're going to go, that's why we deserve the cup. But now I'm understanding that there are these machinations behind it that really can set the tone of success or not success, and how different that can be between the regular season and the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because I am now of the opinion, we don't have to be first in our conference, we just have to make the playoffs. We are a different
For
team
sure.
in the playoffs. You know, we are a lot scrappier. We play a different speed of hockey in the playoffs. But
Well,
on the
that's,
other hand, we potentially may not make it this year.
Oh,
We're
okay.
sitting in the
We're
wild
jumping
card.
ahead. Amy, we're
Okay,
jumping
I'm sorry.
ahead.
I'm
I
passionate.
want you to take
Passionate.
me back to the start of the season and when did the struggle start? Because last year you guys had a bomb ass season, like pretty much top five team all season. You know, I don't think you guys got below 10, you know, but you guys were consistent all year. I know you lost some players in the off season, but what struggle, when did the struggle start?
Really, it seemed like we were doing okay. We actually had our longest winning streak in organization history. I think October, November. I could be wrong about that, but it really seemed like we had our shit together. I've said a bajillion times on your podcast that BGK is very much a chemistry team, and it seems like even as some people left for a while due to injury, Jack Eichel for one, the moving the lines around didn't really seem to matter. We had players like Amadio who were stepping up and filling the holes in the gap that, offensive wise may have been more detrimental. So we were doing okay, and it's like a curse every year. I don't think leading up into the holidays, or if it's the All-Star break or what, the wheels started to fall off. And this is almost an annual tradition with this team, so I didn't really worry about it too much. We were playing with just all these kids from our affiliate team, the Henderson Silver Knights, and a lot of them I didn't even bother to learn their name because they were there for a week and then they'd be sent back down. And it just honestly, the games were not up to par. They were not as fast. Our defense was not as good. We struggled with goaltending. We had, Aiden Hill was out for a while. Really missed him. Glad he's back. But it's an injury curse. I don't know what it is. We
Well,
have
and
this new
other
team
teams
up
in the
every year.
division have pulled ahead, like in the Pacific. Vancouver is top dog.
Yeah, top
And
dog.
last year, I talked to a Vancouver fan. I jokingly said their team was a dumpster fire just because they traded their captain and they fired their coach. But they've had the pieces for years. And, now I think this is their run. I think they're a favorite in the West. I think them and I was saying Dallas at the beginning, but now I think Colorado is a favorite again. And then Edmonton had a stinky start. It was like shameful. And then they tore it up. They gobbled up a shit ton of points. I think they had a 16 game win streak, something
They
ridiculous.
did.
And then Vegas has fallen off, or not Vegas, sorry, excuse me, Seattle has
Well,
fallen
no, we have fallen off, but yeah, Seattle has fallen off. I'm happy for the Canucks. It's been fun watching them. It has not been fun watching the Oilers. I don't like their style of hockey. It is very physical. I also don't like how lopsided their lines are, which, could be a benefit to them because other teams aren't necessarily going to know how to defend against them when they have such a aggressive top line offensive. But I mean, they're so fast. It's hard to catch them down the ice sometimes. But on the So that makes it kind of hard to time your shifts, as far as how you're going to either mount an offense when they're also on the ice, or for our D-men who, several have been out for a large part of the season. We are playing with these young guys in defense, and they may not be as, aware of how sneaky and fast Draisaitl can be, or you know what I mean? And also, they are a very physical team. We seem to get into more little skirmishes with them out on the ice. There's beef there, and I relished, I'll admit, I relished their slump in the beginning. I loved the miserable McDavid memes. They were chef's kiss, but I feel like it's not necessarily karma. I think they did what we need to do now, which is a post-mortem of every loss, be real about what the problem is and make the corrections. So I can't really knock them for how they're doing. The Kings, I
Yeah,
don't.
you guys are neck and neck with the Kings right now. So
Yeah.
they need to go away before you guys.
Yeah. And I don't, it's weird. We don't really, as a fan base, really think about the Kings much at all, which I think is a mistake. They are always kind of hovering at this
Yeah,
level
they've.
of conference, always, every season. They're like chilling in fourth. Like, so it's enough to be dangerous. It's enough to, squash our playoff dreams. And we need to take them more seriously.
Okay, so let's put playoff talk on pause for a minute, and let's talk, now that the dust has settled, let's talk about this trade deadline. And well, I guess the big name out of the way, let's Thomas Hertl. He
Yes.
hasn't Ninja Hertl. He hasn't played a game for you guys yet, but I did watch the Game 7 comeback today on YouTube. What's it like seeing him in black and gold?
Well, I love seeing how happy he looks about the trade. I saw an interview on YouTube with him, and he really seems so stoked.
Yeah,
I
he
don't know.
tweeted for the first time in a year.
Right? And that makes me excited. When they announced it, my jaw dropped. And right away, people were putting up screenshots of the fight between him and Stoney, where they just had each other by the jersey and they are squared up. And it was like, how's it going? Or, how it started to how's it going? And then, now he's a Golden Knight. I think it's awesome. I love the whole financial arrangement that they're retaining some of his salary. I think he will fit in well. We are a big team. He's a bit, he's like a physical guy. He
Talented, experienced.
talented.
He's,
Yeah. I think the only downside to this whole deal was is just the length of his contract. And as soon as he was signed and this was announced, I mean, I knew that something big was coming just because they had just announced that Stone was on LTIR, and that's a big bag of money left for cap space with him on LTIR. So I knew something was coming, but now it just makes me paranoid because I'm a Marshy super fan, so I'm
Yeah.
already starting to worry about what's going to happen in the off season. We have so many contracts that are up for renegotiation after this season. Like, I actually wanted to pull this up because we've got, okay, so Jonathan Marchessault, who has been on fire, by the way,
Team
he's,
leader in points.
yeah, team leader in points. He comes in clutch. Just the other night, he just the most entertaining guy. He's, to me, he's the heart of the team. He's the one that, with a goal from him or even assist from him, so that he can get out there and celly with the guys, he's the one that can turn the momentum around for us. So I keep tweeting, not that anybody's hearing me shout into the void, but give him anything he wants. He's playing alongside Jack Eichel, who's literally making twice as much money as him right now.
Yeah.
Is Jack Eichel worth twice as much money as Jonathan Marchessault? No. And my fear is that another team is going to come in and say, yeah, we'll pay you that. We'll pay you double what you're making now.
Yeah.
And how much of a pay cut, quote unquote pay cut, is Marshy going to be willing to take to stay in Vegas? I
Yeah.
know he likes Vegas. There are benefits to being in Vegas, like no state income tax, but that doesn't offset that he's not being paid what he's worth.
Yeah, it sucks. You know, after we won the championship, Kadri, we knew he couldn't stay. And
Yeah.
he went, he got the money, he got that huge contract in Calgary. And it's like now Calgary, I mean, the team changed like overnight after the ink dried on his contract. So that kind of
It
sucked for
really
him.
did. Yeah, it really did. He was fantastic last night, though, against us.
I
I will say,
know.
yeah,
Well,
he was
I will
great.
talk about that. Let's see, hang on.
Sorry,
Just the
I'm
other players.
leading you astray. I'm all over the place this morning.
No, I'm always scatterbrained, so it's fine. No, so some more additions. Noah Hanifin. He was. Tell me more about him.
So he came from Calgary.
Yeah.
He's a
Which
big
they played
guy.
last night. Yeah.
Yeah, and he, you know, it's funny. I think height-wise and weight-wise, we are the biggest team in the league.
You guys have a huge team. Holy shit.
Yeah, I want to say our average height is like
6'1" is
6'2".
the shortest.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm glad that he's with us. I don't know. Our defense has been not great. I have put it in much more vulgar terms, again on Twitter as I yell into the void. Like, for example, last night, our loss was entirely on the defensive line. We just, and it's reflected in the shots. They got, I think, 10 more shots on goal than we did. And,
Yeah.
you know, it comes down to our D-men are just not getting the puck out of our zone. And, Aiden Hill or White or, oh, I just blanked. Thompson can't do all the work, you know, it really, and this is also exemplified by the fact that skaters like Jack Eichel, for example, are doing some of the heavy lifting when it comes to defense. I've never seen that guy skate backwards so much in his entire career, which is great. I mean, I'm glad he's diversifying,
Yeah.
but that's not what we're paying him $9.5 or $10
Yeah.
a year
Well,
for.
Eichel, I watched the highlights last or this morning, and Eichel had an open net, and Calgary's goalie Wolf, he was spinning on his head, but so was Aiden Hill. He made incredible saves. I mean, like you said, the shots were pretty lopsided. But Aiden Hill, I mean, the score was 4-1, and the last was an empty net. But Aiden
Yeah.
Hill really kept you guys in, and you
He
guys
did.
just weren't getting the puck luck because you guys were thrown against the wall, I feel like,
Yeah.
with Wolf.
And you know, I was texting with my husband that when they pulled Aiden Hill the last 3 minutes of the game, and I said, they shouldn't do this. We're about to he, and Dan's like, why? You know, we're down by two. I was like, we're about to be down by three. Literally 8 seconds later, you know, it was ridiculous. We had some great passing yesterday by our offense. It was clean, smooth. They really created their chances at shots. Unfortunately, not all, you know, most of them did not go in, but there, I was really impressed. That used to, we used to, when we get into that slump in the mid-season, it's usually due to terrible puck passing and just bad plays. They just do not materialize. I'm noticing, and this happens every spring, I don't know what it is, but they were really more organized plays. They were getting down the ice. You could tell that these were plays that they had practiced. They, I don't, it's just an, it's an improvement. It wasn't enough last night, and it fell on defense because they just were not there. And I'm kind of looking like side eye most at Pietrangelo. He really sets the tone for our defense. Zach Whitecloud, you know, he's a, I think that kid has so much natural talent, and he's just a huge guy. He's actually been outplaying Petro, which is just nuts for, you know, this multiple cup winning guy versus this young kid who has been with our organization since the beginning of his career. I just, you know, I can't help but make the comparison, which maybe is not fair, but if we don't get our defensive line act together, we are not going to make the playoffs. It's a huge problem.
Yeah, so playoffs, end of year predictions. I mean, what would it mean if you missed the playoffs? Who's getting fired? Who's like, it's hard
That's
because as reigning Stanley Cup championship, you guys have the target on your back. And for you guys are the most hated franchise. I see every time I see something
know.
online, especially the last 2 weeks with this trade deadline, you know, everyone's
Yeah.
mad at how good your management is, or you know, you guys are cheating or blah 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 blah.
Well, I have said in the past that I don't really like Kelly McCrimmon or Foley in the main office, that I kind of think they're sneaky. But I also kind of think that they don't care. They don't care what we think of them.
It's
They
business.
are,
You want
it's,
one thing.
yes. And it's kind of like the Moneyball kind of idea from baseball, where, all you care about are stats and the bottom line, and that's what they make happen. Do I think that if we miss the playoffs, it'll fall on Cassidy's feet? I don't know. I hope not. I think he's been great for this team. I really don't know what will happen. It's a possibility that I didn't really seriously entertained, honestly, until last night. Actually, no, our loss to Buffalo like a week and a half ago, that's the first time I was like,
Yeah, 2-7, that was a big one.
yeah. And we have come from this position before where we just squeak into the playoffs, and that's fine because we are a different playoff team, partially because we can bring dudes like Mark Stone off of LTIR. But getting there is not a foregone conclusion. And sometimes this team plays like it is. We don't get an automatic buy into the playoffs because just because we're reigning cup champions. And you're right, we do have a target on our back. Everybody wants to take us out. So we'll see. We have two games against the Wild left. I think that might be the two games that really make or break us. If we can't beat them, I don't know if we deserve to go to the playoffs. I don't know.
It sucks because like you lose the Buffalo and you know, you can't really sleep on any NHL team, but then you lose the Columbus.
Right? Oh man. I mean, really, and that's the kind of stuff though that has happened in the past, and we would say, that's ridiculous, but it's okay. We always make the playoffs. And then we didn't, and then we won the cup, and it's,
Well, no, you mentioned, you know, I don't even care if my team wins the division. And I feel that 100% because last year, you know, when we were reigning Stanley Cup champions, we were so spoiled. So when we were having difficulties in November, December, January, I was, you know, me and my Colorado fan Ian, from Fargo, we were like sobbing to each other because we were like in a wild card spot. And as a, you know, we were like, this sucks, you know. And then we ended up winning the division, and you know, by the skin of our teeth. And we freaking lose to Seattle first round. You know, like it was just horrible. That's why this year I'm like, I think we're second or first in the division right now. I think we're tied with
I think
Dallas or Winnipeg or
yeah.
something. We're gonna keep leapfrogging with those other two teams. But it's like, I don't give any shits. We could get in on a wild card and I do not care
Yep,
because
I agree.
McKinnon is having this psychotic year where he's terrifying. Kale's doing Kale things. Mika Rantanen's having another huge year. Our only questionable is our goalie situation. You know, so I'm excited for playoffs again. And like you were saying, I do not care. As long as we're in the playoffs, I just don't care.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You guys have been fun to watch. I haven't been able to follow the rest of the league as much just because I've been so busy with school. But obviously because of you and then also my brother-in-law Gabe, I keep an eye on the Avalanche. I really like them. They're regionally the closest team to us, except for when we play them, then I hate them. But
Yeah. Well, you know, every year there's a big splash at the trade deadline. I think, you know, Vegas made a huge splash with the signing of Hurdle.
Hurdle, yeah.
But I think also Denver did a lot of incredible things. We got a, you know, some, we had to trade away some players that were, you know, kind of fan favorites, like Bo Byram. I mean, you know, he wasn't going to stay, but it sucks seeing a guy from the Cup team
Sure.
go. But then we got Mittelstadt from Buffalo, who's a stud. And who else did we get that was crazy? Well, Zach Parise a few weeks ago, and it's weird seeing him in an Avs
Isn't that
jersey.
crazy? Wow,
Hey, you know
yeah.
what? Win it for Zach. He's 39. He'll
Yeah.
be 40
I know.
in
He's
June.
worked his whole career. Yeah, I want a cup for him. That sure. If it It's weird because I even feel the same way. It's the going back to the UND guys, like,
Yeah.
a lot of people are trying to make the Seattle Vegas rivalry a rivalry, and it's just not. We just are not going to hate each other. But I'd love to see David Hextall lift the Stanley Cup. That'd be so
Yeah.
cool.
No, it's
But
funny. So
anyhow.
we had the series with Seattle last year and we lost in game seven. It was just pathetic.
Crazy.
I mean, Seattle had a great effort, a great season last year. It's good. I thought they would do good again this year, but you know, whatever. But
Yeah.
they still, whenever they play Denver, they boo whenever Cale has the puck. And it's because
Oh.
Cale hit one of their players. I think it was McCann. It was like a frustration hit.
Okay.
And like he got suspended for a game. And I was like, that wasn't even dirty. Like the next game, one of your players broke our player's neck. So
Yeah.
like it's not even the same. So they just need something that they're a new fan base. They need something to boo about. But don't boo Cale Makar. He's a little cherub angel.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm drinking, you guys, so
No, that's great.
It's only 6.5%. It's fine. Okay. All right,
Yeah,
Amy. Well, like I usually say, name of the show, why should your team win? Why should you be back-to-back Stanley Cup champions?
I want to say that our guys play with a lot of heart, and I love that they have just wrapped their arms around our new players like Hanifin and Hurdle before it was even announced. I guess Eichel and Mark Stone called him. Mark Stone called him, even though they've had, this insane fight history, and said, welcome to the team, brother. Like, you're one of us now. This is going to be great. I think we should win because of Bruce Cassidy. That guy, he coaches with heart. He coaches, and he also is not afraid to call our guys out when they're not pulling their weight. So, I think that he's been a really special component of our team. I think that we should win because it's kind of fun being the villain. I know that we're not the villain, and I know that deep down our guys are not caught up in that at all, but I will admit it's kind of fun being on the Reddit boards nowadays as the defending Cup champions. You sent me those San Jose Shark Reddit reactions to the Hurdle trade, and my favorite, which has just popped into my head randomly, was where some guy just wrote, "I need to lie down."
Yeah. I know. I feel for these San Jose fans because, you know, the Game 7 comeback was in 2019. You know, that's
Yeah.
ancient history in hockey. It should be 5 years ago. But that team, that San Jose team has been through so much since. They lost, you know, Jumbo to age, Marleau to age.
Yeah.
But then Carlson left last year. Burns left 2 or 3 years before that. So, like, that team was just like ghost of what it was.
Sure.
And just, you know, they're basically an AHL team. Sorry, San
Oh.
Jose fans, you know, but I mean, like, I know the Avs, they always trade with San Jose frequently. And it's like we recently traded Ben Myers to San Jose because our depth is so strong right now. It's
Sure.
hard to crack the lineup, even as a fourth liner. But it's like, go to San Jose, you'll be on the second line, you know, and you'll be playing, you
Yeah. Oh,
know. But
absolutely.
if you want to stay in Colorado, you're only going to play when someone's injured, or you're just going to be a Colorado Eagle.
Yeah.
So.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because I kind of have the same opinion about the Minnesota Twins in baseball. Like, I used to always joke that we were the best farm team in the league. Because, we would bring up and nurture these guys, and as soon as they hit their stride, trade them.
Yeah.
So I can understand why San Jose fans kind of feel like they're, on a ghost ship right now. And it's still, we still have this rivalry with them. If anybody in our division where we were to say we have a rivalry with, it will always be San Jose because of that series in 2019. And you're right, it's ancient history, but that, think
But
about how
hockey
far
fans,
back.
our memory is sharp.
So, yeah.
It should be ancient history, but it's not.
Yeah.
And even watching that game again today, it's brutal. Right when the puck dropped, the chaos ensues, and you see Pavelski's head hit the ice first, and he's not moving. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
That's the stuff movies are made out of. They scored three in 3 minutes. Pandemonium and overtime, that's
Yeah.
why
I
we
mean,
watch this shit.
that's if somebody says Cody Eakin, that penalty is what they will think of. It doesn't matter how many great goals he has on his, hit reel or any of that kind of stuff. That's the thing that's going to be at the top of his Wikipedia page. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People remember. And then also, it becomes an emotional thing. It becomes, I remember when Dan and I finally went to our first game last year and we lost. It was against Edmonton. It was in the playoffs. But do you know how many Calgary Flames fans were there rooting for VGK just because they hate Edmonton that much? They
Yeah,
paid
wow.
money to fly to Vegas to watch a Vegas Edmonton playoff game because they hate Edmonton that much. And it's like, man, I love this
That's
game.
hysterical, and I want to talk to these people.
I mean, they were still super nice about it because they're Canadian, but
Yeah.
they were like, we're with you because we just hearts are easily broken in this game,
Yeah.
and people carry that for a long time. And I think that's why when you finally do hoist the cup like we did, it's such a redemption story and it feels so good. But I don't even want to say it because I don't want to be negative, but I'm sure every listener and everybody that follows the league would say that today, the team we are, you know what Bruce Cassidy would say this today too. Today, our team does not deserve to win another cup this season. They don't. And
Still 5 weeks left, or less than
that's
that.
true.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is it 3.5, 4.5? I don't
Yeah.
even have a calendar in front of
I
me,
feel like
but
the last 2 weeks of the season always drags. You're like 82 games, like, ooh.
yeah.
I
Well,
know they've discussed shortening the season before, but they can't, I guess, for some
yeah.
reason.
I think that it drags for the teams that have locked a berth. But
Yes.
for those who are fighting for that wild card spot, like I'm afraid we might, it drags because it is so anxiety ridden.
Oh
And
yeah.
you can't discount any little team. You could go, a team that is last in their division, and they're going to have this triumphant thing because they may not be making the playoffs either. They know that they're out, but they would love to be the one that knocks your team out of the playoffs, and
Yeah.
that could
Well,
be
I
what
mean,
happened.
it was a couple set the 17-18 season, the Avalanche made the playoffs in game 82. Like you're saying, it was pandemonium.
Yeah.
It's like they look like little kids out there having fun, but yeah. Amy, thank you so much for shooting the shit with me, and
Yeah.
hopefully we talk again
Thank you
and you
so much for
guys
having me.
make
I
it to
missed it.
Vegas.
Yeah,
Yeah, me
thank
too.
you. I miss you too.
All right. Thanks, Amy.
Yeah, thanks, Katie.